truthfully, what happens is, as children grow up, we start to educate them progressively from the waist up. And then we focus on their heads, and slightly to one side.
I think in the old days, you know, you were better off. Because nowadays, they're all specialists. Everyone's becoming better and better, and less and less. And eventually, someone's going to be superb at nothing.
Our education system has mined our minds in the way that we've strip-mined the earth for a particular commodity. And for the future, it won't serve us. We have to rethink the fundamental principles on which we're educating our children.
We're not here to tell everybody that they're wrong and we're right. We're not saying that we have all the answers, but we'd like to present a different way of looking at it.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to China Jeducation, another new series from the China Jedi brand. Interestingly, or pretty obviously, focused on education. I'm here with co-host William Lamont. Hey, Will.
Hello.
And we're coming actually live from our other studio, our academic studio.
Yes, quite studious academic studio.
And Will's just served me up some nice green tea in a lovely, well, I'd call it kind of a half cup, half bowl.
Yeah, my students gave me this when I left school, so they gave me a travel set, and it's like my favourite thing in the world. So.
Actually, it does taste really nice.
Is it a good tea?
Yeah, what's the name of it?
I have no idea. It says, it says something like, like studious or glorious tea, and like, so, you know, I don't know what it is, but I'm pretty sure that it's just a mild tea guanyin.
I was going to say tian guanyin. Yeah, it does taste exactly like that. So lovely. Now, this series that we're kicking off, China Jeducation, focused on education. Let's talk about, I mean, quickly for the listeners, who it's actually aimed at. I mean, first of all, we'd say teachers, right?
Yes, but we can also sort of aim it towards people who have children.
Yeah, like you and me.
Like you and I.
How many you got at the moment? One.
Just one. Thankfully.
I got two, and then another on the way.
I'm sorry.
I don't quite know how that happened. No, you don't need to apologise at all. I'm quite happy with it. Of course.
I'm not going to take one. Stop trying to make me take one.
If there anyone is out there who wants, it's probably going to be another boy, isn't it? Oh. Please email info@chinajedi.com. You get yourself a little Jedi.
Yeah.
Anyway, Will, what are we talking about? Teachers. Yeah, focus on teachers. Yeah. And not just teachers, yeah.
Not just teachers, or somebody who is in charge of a department of teachers. So like
a dean or a faculty head. Or...
Right, yeah. Somebody who wants to make sure that, how do you say that? Somebody who maybe has been in the job for a while or just started in their job and they want something to give their staff members or the people they're in charge of just something different to think about. Because I think the whole purpose of what we're doing here is just to recognize where things are going in the world of education and just in the world in general. So,
which is a massive task.
Which is. But the thing is, like, when you are working for a school, you don't always have time to go out and look at these things or to even like, reflect on what you're doing in your job.
To see the woods for the trees, as they say.
Right, right, yeah. So I think that's somewhere where we can help out.
Absolutely. And, you know, talking about the teachers, obviously we're in China. A lot of teachers here, international teachers, a lot of local teachers too, Chinese teachers. And I think this could be a very interesting, useful, beneficial podcast to assist them in their work. And of course, not just teachers in China, but international expat teachers around the world.
Right.
Of course, that's what we are and what we do. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely some resonance there. And going back to what you said earlier, I mean, let's put this on parents. I mean, they are the first teachers, aren't they, of children? I think we'll talk much more about this. School really does need to go focus much more back on the home.
Yeah, well, yeah, especially parents these days tend to, especially in China, it's very obvious in China, but I think that it's happening around the world as well. Parents tend to put a lot of the onus onto teachers to do all of the work for them.
Mm.
From everything from teaching a kid to read to sexual education or like sexual health.
It's your job.
You know, apparently it's the teacher's job not the parent's job to do this anymore.
If something goes wrong, it's your responsibility.
Exactly. And this just seems so bizarre, you know. where did we like suddenly just start relinquishing all of our responsibility for these things? It just doesn't make sense.
No, indeed. And tailing on to that, I mean, if you go back and you look at some people that live, you know, away from urban life,
right?
You'd actually find that school works, education works in the community.
Yeah.
So a child is born and they actually grow up with the people in the community, right, taking them out, teaching them, learning different lessons from each other. That's not amazing. Just yeah. one teacher,
yeah.
all
yeah.
the parents.
Yeah.
So there's another thing that we should definitely focus and look at.
I like that.
Yeah. So I actually think we're all, in our own unique ways, whatever job we do, I think we're all teachers.
I'd agree with that, yeah.
We all have our own unique story, and the question is, do you go through your life and not tell your story because there's someone out there who can learn from it, right?
Right, right, this is true, yeah. And just, I mean, everybody's good at something, you know. Everybody has something to teach. And so I think we can help with how to express yourself as a teacher. I guess that could be something we look at, you know, in a more efficacious way. We could look at, you know, how to actually prepare people for learning, because that's not something that people really think about either. You think you can just sit down and it just, your brain's like a sponge, it just soaks it up. It's not quite like that, you know. So, yeah,
well,
a good opportunity.
And we don't want the listeners, of course, to think that we're just thinking on our heads here, you know, what actually we're going to talk about, because we have obviously got a good structure and a plan for this, being teachers ourselves. I mean, let's go into that then. Why are we wanting to do this podcast series, China Education? Let me start first. I think the first one is being in China, massive country. Everyone says, you know, you've got to be in China, you've got to have a business in China, you've got to have a China focus, all this kind of stuff. But focus down onto education. It's a massive market. We see this in developing countries. China's still very much a developing country in a lot of respects.
Yeah.
All countries, we're all developing, aren't we?
Yeah, I think it's more China behaves like a developing country in some ways, and it behaves like a superpower in others.
Right.
So there's kind of like a disconnect there, which I think is something they need to address, but that's a topic for another day.
Indeed. So it's a massive market. I mean, the amount of schools that are popping up with funny, interesting, regal English names, shall we say. I don't know, the King Henry School, and well, we've got, to Zhuhai, where we're based, we've got Wickham Abbey. Is coming over. We've got we've always got Dulwich, of course.
Sure.
We've got QSI, which, you know, I'm currently doing stuff in. What's the other one that's coming along as well? Harrow is going to be arriving here. We're talking big 1,500 student boarding schools coming up here, well, in the Hunjin area.
Okay, now help me understand that, because I thought that the government just put a kibosh on any more foreign schools being opened here.
Well, here's the thing. Let's kibosh the kibosh, because these schools are not actually foreign schools, they're JV partner schools. They're Chinese international schools.
Oh, dear.
And these are the ones... Well, no, not oh dear, because actually, if you look, Shanghai, Beijing, these are the schools that are proliferating very well under this kind of two systems coming together. So they could teach the, shall we say, the international education... But they've also got within the curriculum, and this is laws by the government, and I think, you know, we should do a pod on this,
because
it's very changing. The Ministry of Education, they're very new rules and laws that, you know, these schools, although they're international, foreign kind of focused, being JV, the Chinese curriculum has to form a large part of the curriculum too. So there's a kind of an interface there, a yin and a yang, so to speak. Let's get some more experts in to talk about the nuts and bolts of this, because in a business sense, and all these things are businesses, this is the one that's caning in the cash. And that's why they're going to start proliferating like bacteria. of course, you can have good and bad bacteria,
I don't want
to say that they're bad in any way. But certainly education is what China wants, and this podcast is exactly what we're going to give.
Whether you like it or not.
Well, if you don't like it, you don't listen. The other thing is, well, just why we wanted to do this. We've had a lot of, you know, we get a lot of messages in, a lot via email, about our shows that we do, and a lot of the listeners are seemingly teachers.
Okay.
And of course, you know, they mentioned that, can we talk more about teaching experiences, things like that. And I think a large majority of foreigners that are listening to this have had some experience of teaching. Mm-hmm. They might not be, shall we say, accredited, certified teachers or even do it full time, but we've all had that, oh, can you teach me English on a bus? can I be, you know, language partner?
Yeah, you come to my apartment.
Yes.
Oh, wait,
I teach you,
no?
You teach me. Hey, well, that's I was going to ask you to talk more about that, but I've been told by our researchers to move on. Okay, so I think this is a good time also, Will, to maybe talk a little bit about our story, because you know, we both have experience teaching. You're a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Teacher Will.
Hello.
And I'm Teacher Chris.
Yeah.
and that's not, I don't know, kind of ego, pathetic name you've come up with. It's what we get called, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Like, people literally see me and they just shout, Teacher William, Teacher William. It's like, hello. You know, that's my name now. I have no other personality but that.
But you're lucky they've gone for the three syllables.
Really?
Well, William, you know, normally because you say Christopher, for example, it's quite long.
Oh, right.
Okay. Bradshaw, my surname, Lamont, sure. Your surname, two syllables. Yeah. What happened when you put up Mr. Lamont in your classroom on your first day?
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, got totally ignored by my co-head teacher, and I was introduced as Teacher William on the first day, and so that was what stuck. So
as you were writing Mr. Lamont.
Yeah, they don't always get all three syllables. Sometimes it's just Teacher Willem. Teacher Willem. But you know, I come from New Zealand mostly, so that's how they talk over there anyways. Everything's like us.
Does Willem have a kind of a meaning or not Willem?
Sure, yeah, I don't care.
No, does it? In England, I can't think of a Willem. What's a Willem?
Oh, no, it's just because in New Zealand, everybody swallows their words, basically.
Okay.
Everything gets sort of pronounced at the back of the mouth with a very, you know, I don't know, tight, but lazy lips.
Oh, okay.
So everything's kind of just whatever.
we got accents like that too in England.
You're
anyway,
right.
Well, we do want people to listen to this. So
sure, yeah, okay.
Right. Let's move on before we, discriminate.
Okay, so we were talking about our backgrounds, right?
Yeah, and you were saying your name's Teacher William. Actually, just a quick one on this. It's coming off. My name is Teacher Chris.
Mm.
And I have to tell my students always now when I have a new class that it's Teacher Chris and not Teacher Kiss.
Ah, yes.
Because, you know, that R can be quite difficult. And my IE has a terrible problem. You know, a lady who helps us with the kids at home, and she always calls me Kiss. And I have to tell her that that's just not possible. Mayfan.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on to your story then, Will. Yeah, give the listeners some background on yourself, because you're doing lots of stuff, especially writing.
Okay, so I started out teaching. I started out teaching in New Zealand. When I was working in retail, I spent a lot of my time teaching, and then when 2008 hit, it was kind of like, well, there's no more jobs in retail or in the IT sector I was working in, so I went back to school to become a teacher. I thought, well, I always teach, I might as well just actually make it official. So I started out teaching English as a EFL, sorry, ESL, yeah, English as a second language in New Zealand. And while I was there, I got notified of a position opening up here in China, and they were looking for somebody to come over and set up their foreign language department.
Mm.
And it turned out it was like an international department. So my whole family moved over here, and I helped set up the international department in the school. But things got increasingly more weird there, and so I decided, you know, it would be more, I would have more impact on my students to actually work outside of, not the school system, but outside of that,
yeah,
like, school system. So I'm still teaching, but I take on a lot of private students, and I mostly work with exceptional students or students that are looking to go and study either overseas at Dulwich or at QSI here in Zhuhai.
Which, of course, is where we came up with the plan for the Next Generation podcast.
Right.
Where
we're speaking
with these, what I would call high level, high expectations as well, students from Chinese families. and profiling them, giving their own podcast for them to profile their story. So that's fantastic. And of course, you focus a lot predominantly on writing as well, which, you know, we will get into another sure. time, which I think is wonderful because, you know, in today's world, you know, voice messages and...
I have no problem with what form of text it takes. Like, I'm not overly nostalgic about whether or not you're writing something down on paper or typing it on the keyboard. I'm not worried about that. I'm more worried about communication. And I find that writing, like actual writing, either with your hand or on the keyboard, helps you become a better communicator across the board. So that's why I focus on that so much.
Yeah, and I think there's a difference between, as we're going back to, an audio message is very spontaneous. It's coming like a stream.
Right.
You're not really thinking or reflecting over the sentence you've just said.
Yeah.
Whereas where you're writing on a computer and that you are. Reflection, yes, wonderful word for teachers out there.
I like that word.
Yes. There's something like a good reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, lovely. Thanks for that, Will. So quickly where I come in... where do we go back here? So after my university, I went to Japan on the JET program,
nice.
Japan Exchange Teaching Program. Yeah. So I had a year working in a public school, a high school there, and as an English kind of, how do you say, assistant, I worked with the Japanese teachers. And one of my roles was to teach English, but was also to promote internationalization on a local level. It was a wonderful experience. I could have stayed another 2 years, but I was in a small place, Takaoka-shi in Toyama-ken. Near the mountains. It's beautiful, but I was young and, you know, I was yearning to get back home and start business, do entrepreneurial stuff.
Sure.
And so I moved from that. Actually, that's where, that year, I met my wife to be.
Wow.
So there was a very good point of that trip. So I came back and, you know, I verged into the world of entrepreneurship, doing lots of different things, lots of businesses, mostly failed, some were successful, and, you know, you keep going up the ladder.
True.
One of them brought me to China, where I came over here on manufacturing, and then I moved into the back into science, which I did at my university, into the health industry, and I formed a health consultancy company, which, you know, CJB. But I found, you know, a lot of the stuff I do is very education-based, whether it's working one-on-ones or with groups, you know, for their health goals, or putting programs into places, health programs,
right.
working with doctors when we had the clinic here. And also, what I found is that being a health consultant, a consultant in that realm in Zhuhai, is not, I think, it's a very different experience to, say, being in Shenzhen or Guangzhou in the bigger cities.
Okay,
certainly where I think these ideas of health are on a, how should we say, I think people understand it more.
Okay.
In more developed cities that are more international, and
so it's a more holistic version or version of health rather than here. It's probably more
Chinese traditional medicine,
of course,
is very holistic. What I mean is, I think there's a more of an acceptance that you will spend money on your health. You would spend money to have a consultation with someone. You would spend money for someone to teach you how to cook healthier food. You know, I mean, how many places you see in Zhuhai that do green smoothies on the corner as you're going to work or something like that? They're a lot less than if you compare them.
Approximately zero.
But if you go to Shenzhen and you go to, you know, Shanghai and that, you know, these places popping up everywhere, veganism and vegetarianism and all these kind of, I don't say new age, but these kind of things that now I think we equate with health, and science is behind it in a long term. So what's happened is that over the last year, projects being a little bit on the slow side in Zhuhai, that I've decided to take my educational experience into a, how would you say, a more professional role. And so I've actually, I became part of a teaching program, 1 year teaching license program for a company called Teach Now, which I think we'll do a podcast on, because I think for anyone out there looking to focus more of their career on teaching abroad, this is a great program.
Okay.
So I'm coming up to the end of that now. I'm in my clinical placement in QSI, which is an American international school. We have one here in Zhuhai, where my both of my boys go to. So that's what I'm... Half of the week I'm there doing that. So half of the week I'm at school, learning about standards and doing all the different things, and, you know, learning about pedagogy, as they say, and working with different teachers from different backgrounds, different subjects, different age groups. So it's wonderful. But, you know, I think bringing this all together, Will, we have a lot of experience teaching, good and bad, a lot of connections and insights into this. Fascinating industry, and I think one that's let's face it, I think if education is done in the right way, globally and countrywide, it has the chance to greatly improve our world, and certainly the world for those like us who are living on it.
Yeah.
So I think what we are going to talk about in this podcast, you know, I think it's got some, how do you say, got some miles to it.
Right.
Some mileage. So there you go, listeners. This is a bit of a story on Will and I's background. I think we should probably go into now a bit more about the actual topics, the detail that people can probably get to listen and learn and interact with as we go through this series, yeah? Mm-hmm. So come on, come out with, you've mentioned a few little tidbits earlier. What are we going to discuss from your angle? Where do you come in on this, your slant?
I guess mine is, I don't know, I try not to make it too negative, but it is a... Mm-hmm. The insights that I've had have come from negative experiences in the world of education. And that was from my own, like, my own education when I was younger, and coming up into working for schools here as well. But the thing is, I want to take those negative sort of experiences, break them down, and sort of reframe them as how they can be more of a positive learning experience. A teachable moment, if you will.
Teachable moment. What we should call the teaching tip at the end. Teachable moment. A bit of piano music after it. Now, Bill, you'd be very clever there to say something, but actually nothing.
Yes.
Yeah, which I like. You fiend. You should be a politician. Wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Okay, bye.
You'll get on well here. But that's good, because, you know, you'll have to listen to the future podcast to hear about that. But there's some fantastic stuff, Will, that you're coming out with. One of the reasons why we're doing this.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn. But, okay, if you think it's fantastic, thank you.
No, it's wonderful. And, you know, listeners, we're not just going to give you the normal bog-standard theory that you just get when you open a book. We're going to give you what we feel it's like, what's going wrong, what needs to change, what's great, from our own personal experiences, and, you know, interact with that however much you like. But I think here, you know, I've got a good list of things we're going to be looking at.
Sure.
Interviews with teachers on the ground, you know, in and around China, maybe in other countries too. You know, we do China Jedi Talk, where we talk to people online, and they could be anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting facet that could come in. Talking about education, the industry as a whole, of course, and teaching, becoming accredited, I think that's a good one, because now, as countries develop, you know, China, especially Guangdong, used to be able to just rock up with a backpack, a long hair, and maybe a can of beer in your hand, and you'd be teaching kids the next day, but now it's changing, right? So,
yeah.
The world of accreditation and laws and regulations, it's a good one to talk about. Pedagogy, obviously, love that word, don't really. Pedagogy, the method and practice of teaching. Listeners, if you don't know what that is, I always forget. Whoops. Challenges of teaching abroad, Will. I think we should have that. Certainly, you've got some good ones to put in there. Differences and similarities, I think also between the East and West, we're going to be covering a hell of a lot.
I think that's good. Yeah, there's a lot of... The thing of China is, it's being foreigners, we have some sort of insight into it, being outside of that culture. But also the way that China kind of does everything to the extreme. Like, it makes it much easier to see, oh, that's actually a bad idea. You know, because it's done to such an extent that you suddenly recognize how bad that is.
I like that, yeah. It's very black. In fact, a lot of things here are very black and white. Of course, life's colourful. So, you know, if we don't want you to look at those things, we'll just block it.
Exactly, yeah.
That's black and that's white. Yeah. But you know where you stand in a lot of respects. There's...
Unless it just disappears, you know. Which happens.
But. Which it does. And reappears. Teacher professionalism.
Yeah.
That's a good one. The art of reflecting.
Yeah.
Talk about the larger school community.
Uh-huh.
What makes a good and bad teacher, and I guess a kind of good but maybe a little bad teacher too.
Okay, yeah.
Communication techniques.
Yeah.
Very important, I think, when you're especially teaching abroad, communication.
Yeah, we should probably talk about... teacher-student communication, but also teacher-teacher communication. I think there's a lot going on there that's...
ST and TT?
Yeah, like in the office.
In the office, yeah.
Office politics.
Talk about that dude that always hangs around the photocopier. Oh, God, he's there again.
Oh, no, that was me.
so effective non-verbal, verbal communications we'll go into. well, culture and gender differences. I think that's a really deep one. Stimulating discussion. You know, I find a lot of teaching in Asia, because of the cultures, you know, you need to come up with some innovative techniques to get the kids to speak and discuss and use the language and their thoughts and their creativity and expression more. So that's a good one. Instruction and assessment.
Yeah,
because, hey, we live in a world of exams and exams and exams.
Wish we didn't. But
cookie-cutting students. Yeah. Instructional strategies, planning strategies, assessment strategies. We'll whack them all into probably not one podcast.
Yeah.
Student as learners as well, I think, is a big one. Let's focus on the students' development, their learning process. We look at diverse learners, differentiated instructions for them. And, of course, a big one, motivation. And the actual, how would you say, the learning environment that we teach in and we learn in.
Yeah.
So there's a lot there. Principles of learning and teaching, I think we could sum up a lot of that, right? Okay, well, there you go. I think we've been very succinct. We're going to end the podcast with a couple of new things we're going to add in, right?
Okay, sure. Sounds
first good. One is Word of the Week. On the sounds and the words of yesterday. Word of the week, then. It's a word that's education-based, and maybe you've got no idea what it means, or have some idea what it means, and we're going to define it like experts. So you'll be able to finish this podcast and go, hey, do you know what this means? And they'll think you're a really intelligent, academic human being, a brain walking on a body. So here's the word of the week. I'll give you one this week, Will, and next week you can give me another one. Okay. Let's talk about education, the word education.
Okay.
Listen to this definition from one of the dictionaries. Education is the process of reviewing and giving systematic instruction, especially at school or university. Full stop, period. But I like this other one. There's another one.
Okay, good.
It goes, education is an enlightening experience.
Oh, I see.
Which I think I quite like.
Moving in the right direction.
If you can enlighten your students, you're doing a good job. And if they can enlighten you as well, well, that's a win-win. Okay, well, actually, education, let's go through the root of it. It's derived from Latin.
Right.
Which you probably have known. Two different Latin roots actually form the English word education. The first one is educare. Yeah, the Latin root educare, which means to train or to mould.
Okay,
to train or to mould. Into what, of course, is the interesting thing we like to discuss through these pods. And then the other root word where it comes from is, I think you would pronounce it educere, educere, C-E-R-E, educere, which means to lead out.
I like
so
that.
So we've got training or moulding or leading out. Your fearless army into, fearless army into a world of problems and challenges that we need to overcome.
I like that. There's a thing in Buddhism that's very similar to that. You know, it's not making somebody follow the path, but pointing the path out and letting them walk it themselves. So that's good.
Wonderful. Okay, well, that's that. Nice and quick. And as always, we're going to finish this podcast with a teacher's tip. A recipe for success if
you want to compete. All right, I guess that's mine this week.
It's your tip today.
Yeah, it is my tip. So my tip is a book that I love. It's called The Writing Thief, and it's by Ruth Cullum. Its subtitle is Using Mentor Texts to Teach the Craft of Writing.
Fantastic.
And that is just an absolutely... wonderful book. It's got a lot of quotes from many different teachers and a lot of very good tips and tricks for teaching writing to kids using fun texts.
Wonderful. So the visiting thief, no, the writing thief.
Oh dear.
The writing thief. But the W does look like a V. Oh Christ. By Ruth Cullum, and using mental text to teach the craft of writing. Brilliant. So check that out. I guess you can get it on Amazon and all those places too.
Yeah, I think it's a Scholastic book, but it's International Reading Association is the publisher for that. International Reading Association.
There you go. Okay, well, there you go. There's your teacher's tip for this week. Hope you've enjoyed it, listeners, and we look forward to speaking to you again very soon.
If you enjoy listening to the China Jedi podcast and want to get involved, either by asking a question, expressing your opinion, good or bad, light or dark, or even appearing as a special guest, then get in touch by emailing our team at info@chinajedi.com. That's info@chinajedi.com.